Welcome to Project Lakuta Sichas, Sicha Beis, Parshas Noach, page 24. B'shaiches l'mashakoso b'parshasenu, mina behema tahoira, mina behema asher einena tahoira. This is the pasuk describing the animals that came into the teva, and it says that there's the behema tahoira, and then there's the behema asher einena tahoira. It does not spell out that it's tmeya. Amru Chazal b'Gemara la'olam al yitzi adam davar meguna mipiv. A person should never take out of his mouth something that's despicable. Sha'arei ikim akasov shmeina aisyus. The Torah adds 8 letters v'le'hitzi davar meguna mipiv, and it doesn't want to use the expression which is in the negative that the behemah is tmeya. Shenama min habehemah tahira min habehemah asher einena tahira. U'pirish Rashi. That this reason that you don't want to be speaking a davar meguna is the reason why the pasuk is ma'irich here. Asher einena tahira. These are 3 words: gimel teivos, hakolalois, yudgimelosius, that are 13 letters. B'makom shayi yochel lekatzev v'loimar, the pasuk could have just bekitza said hatmeya teva achas. That's 1 word. Heyosius. It's only 5 letters. So we have over here extra words, extra letters, l'lamedcha, l'chazer, achalosh, nekiyah. The Torah adds 8 extra letters to teach you that a person should choose a clean, pure language. This is b'negeya to speech. So just like there's a lesson here from this parasha, from this week's parasha, about a person being careful in his speech, al derech zeh yesh lumed mi parsha zu oid hayra b'shaychus lezehiros b'ri'iyah. You could also learn from this week's parsha a lesson about a person being careful in what he sees. Shem v'yefes nizeru b'tachlis lezehiros miliris erev asaviyam. This is the story after Noach comes out of the teva and he plants a vineyard and then he drinks wine and becomes drunk and he was exposed. And Shem and Yefes, they were very careful not to see their father in this kind of a state. And they walked backwards towards him, and that's how they walked towards him to cover him. So we see over here about being careful about not seeing something negative, not seeing the exposure of their father in that condition. And when you see the reward that they received for this, it emphasizes how great and how important this is. Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem V'yihi Kenan Goyme Yafta Lekim LeYefes V'yishkein Ba'ali Shem Goyme. So this is tremendous brachas, especially the way it's explained in the Medrash, that they got just for this, not looking in a place which was not sneis, looking at their father in this state. So we see in this week's parasha both how a person in his speech should be careful to only use positive and clean language, and the same also regarding Ri'iyah, regarding what you see, to only look at things that are positive, clean, and pure, and to not, chas v'shalom, see anything that's not. Omnam b'sipur anal tzorech lahoven. However, if we take a look at the lashon of the pasuk, so we have a question. Achrei she'akosav oimer she'holcho b'ofen shel pneim achiranes, the pasuk says that they came towards their father to cover him, they were walking backwards, their face was not facing him. Harei mizeh muvan shelo ra'u erves aviyah. So obviously, they couldn't see their father, the erva, the exposure of the father. Sharei pneim achiranes, their face is facing the other direction. If so, ma meisiv b'teves, why does the Torah have to add the words and say, ve'erva saviyim lo yiro? And they did not see their father in this with this exposure. It's obvious. Akor achach tzarech loyimah. Sha'akosav machadish b'zeh inyin u'maylem miyuchedes banhogas shem v'yefes. By adding these words, ve'erva saviyim lo yiro, there's another chiddush. There's another point that the Torah is talking about and letting us know about the behavior of Shem and Yefes. Just by the fact that they were walking backwards, we wouldn't know of this additional thing about Ervas Aviyim Leiro. So what is this? What's this additional chiddush of Ervas Aviyim Leiro? We can understand this with the word of the Baal Shem Tov. Shekasha Adam Roye Rabbe Zulasai, the Baal Shem Tov says, if a person sees something that's negative in his friend, this proves that similar to this negativity that he sees by another person is actually within him himself. And the Baal Shem Tov says, it's a kumay adam hamavet biri'i, like a person looking into a mirror. In ponov nikiyim, if you have a clean face, ene roya b'mara shum daifi, so you don't see any dirt in the mirror looking at your face. Avlam uroya lichluch v'kesem biri'i, if you see dirt, a stain, when you look into the mirror, ein ze elo mishum shaponov mitunofen. So that what it means is that it's your face that's dirty. So when you look at another person, whatever you see in him, he's mirroring your own image. You're seeing the chesreinus in him is the chesreinus of yourself that are reflected in what you see in him. So the Rebbe asks, let's understand this vartia. What's the basis of this? Why would we say this? Why is it that when I see negative in someone else, it serves as a reflection of what's really going on within the person himself? Why can't it be possible? It's two different people. It's not a mirror. Why shouldn't we say that what I see in another person is his negativity, his chesreinus, and I have no connection to that? I'm just seeing it in him. Why isn't that a possibility? So the pshat here in this is, kol mu'ura sheba'olam hu bashgacha pratis. Everything that happens in the world is bashgacha pratis. V'chein gam b'mu'ura zeh. So this over here is also true in this case. Shuhuraya rabu zolosek. When a person sees something negative in someone else. Ein zeh b'mikra chas v'shalom. It's not something that just happened. El adavashe is minu lem l'mayla. This is something that Hashem brought to happen from above. The Eibishter brings that the person should see a reflection of himself. So the Eibishter doesn't create anything in the world for no reason. So you can't say that the Eibishter allows you to see something negative in another person with no purpose. So definitely whatever negative you see in another person, there's an instruction here, there's a lesson, it's teaching you something. Vihi, and what is it teaching you? Says the Baal Shem Tov tells us, Shahara nimtze beroya atzmei v'olav asakne. It's a lesson for yourself, that you're seeing something that you yourself have to work on. So the point here is that everything in the world that we see, everything that happens is for a reason. And when you see something in another person, the lesson in Avedas Hashem is for you. That it's something that you didn't just happen to have seen it. It's a lesson for yourself that you have to fix it up and correct it in yourself. Why does the Eibishter bring a person to pay attention to things that he has to correct in himself in such a way, in such an indirect way that he sees it in someone else? He becomes aware of what he has to fix in himself by seeing it in his friend, and not by somehow becoming aware of it directly within himself. Why does it happen this way? The answer is, Mishum Shakol Pshoim Tchasava. On all sins, whatever negativity, whatever chesreinus a person has, love covers over it. The Avas Atzmai Mikol Shekein. Self-love definitely covers over anything that a person has to work on himself. The Mishnah says that when it comes to a nega, a koyin could see any negoyim in another person, but not negoyim that are by himself. A person doesn't see, can't be a judge, can't honestly and objectively see himself for what it is. The way to bring a person to become aware of what he's lacking, when the Eibishter makes him aware to see this by someone else, and here he's looking objectively and he's judging and he sees this chesaron. And now this opportunity, these negativity and exactly how low it is and to what extent it has to be corrected, this gives him the objectivity to look back at himself and to see how he is in that same situation and he has to correct it himself. And now when he will contemplate this matter and he'll think about how this applies to himself, he'll come to realize that he is lacking in the same area. And here the Rebbe brings back again the Lashon of the Mishnah and teaches it, whatever negayim, whatever chesreinus you see outside in someone else, It's a tetzah, it's a result of the negayim that are found by yourself. So the punctuation in the Mishnah here is read differently. Kol anagoyim odem roye chutz, kama, whatever you see from the outside, where does it come from? Minigay atzmai. That's something that's really in yourself, and the Eibush is just giving you the opportunity to see it objectively and apply it back to yourself. This is the pshat in the vart of the Baal Shem Tov. Omnam adayin yesh lahakshayis. However, the question still remains. Tafkido shel isha yisraeli, part of the job of a person, of a yid in this world, who leirak lifol zichach valiyah ba'atzmai. It's not just to work with himself, to elevate and serve the Eibush with himself. Elegan lifol b'chaveda. Part of a person's aveda in this world is also to influence his friend. Kumei shenema, recheach, recheach, samisecha, vafila mea pomit. You have to teach and rebuke your friend, even if you have to speak to him 100 times. Okay, mi yoima. So going back to what the Baal Shem Tov says. Yes, when you see someone in something else, something in someone else, it has to be Ashkocha Pratis. There's a lesson in it that you have to take to do something about it. But mi yoima, shakavana bezesh shemul maila heru sarashal zulasoi hu b'chdei sheyire v'yevoda sheoysara nimtzeboi v'asha olav levare. Who says that the lesson is to apply it back to yourself? That whatever you see in someone else gives you now the opportunity to apply it to yourself and to get rid of this negativity. Why not just say the way it would seem to be simply? The Eibush is allowing you to see the negative in someone else. For what purpose? The Eibush just sees that this person is alone and he can't help himself. So you allow someone else to see the negative in him in order for you to come with your Avos Yisrael and help him. So who says the point? Who says the other person serves as a mirror, as a reflection to yourself? Maybe the Ashgacha Paratis Takeh is the fact that you're there and you're able to help the other person, not for yourself. Say to Mizu, the question goes even further. And here the Rebbe questions the very notion that another Yid can serve just as a reflection to yourself. It was spoken about many times. Bnei Yisrael einam bepchinas emtzoi. Yidden are not considered to be a vehicle. Shal yadam tushla kavana al yayna b'inyanacher. That the Yidden are just serving as an intermediary, as a vehicle to fulfill a purpose regarding something else. The Haine Shanoimar, that we would say shetachlas hakavana emtzas b'inyanacher mechutzlem. The purpose is found in something or somewhere outside of the Yid. Kamoi kol shar and yoni abriya, which is actually true about everything else in creation. Kailal olam esal yoinim, including the higher and ruchni, is the worlds that were created. Sheinei matzvom tachlis v'riyosam. They're not the purpose of creation. Ela b'shvil Yisrael b'shvil ha-teira. Everything in the world created, as Rashi says in the beginning of the Chumash, is b'shvil Yisrael, for the purpose of Yidden, for the purpose of teira. So regarding the world and all the world, it's taka true to say that their purpose of creation is for Yidden. But you can't say that about Yidden. Yidden are the purpose. They're not a vehicle for something else. So now the Rebbe adds to this. Just as this is true regarding Klal Yisrael in general, that they are the purpose of creation. The same is also true regarding every individual. You can't say that the existence of one Yid is for what purpose? That he'll be there as a reflection and as a mirror to someone else. The circumstance that there is between two Yidden, it's not anything that I can take out of it for myself. It's for the other person. The kavana of the circumstance that a Yid is found in is for him himself, for every person for himself. So whatever's going on in a person's life is negeya to him, not only as a medium for someone else. So it's understood of it from this regarding the aveda of every yid. That it's also impossible to say the fact that mulmaila, the chesreinus of one individual, becomes exposed. The only purpose of exposing these chesreinus is not for himself, but it's all for someone else to use him as a mirror. Haraya, someone else sees it within him. Im loisha titzmach mizeh tayeles labala chesaron atzmi. There has to be some tayeles in the exposure of these chesreinus for the person himself. Everything that happens in the life of a Yid has to be a purpose for him himself and not just as a vehicle for someone else to use you as a reflection. Going back to what the Rebbe said, if you see a chesaron in someone, the purpose of what you see in him is for him himself, to go and help him fix things in himself, to get rid of the evil that's inside of him, not just to use him as a reflection for yourself. So if this is the case, we're going to have to say that what you see in the other person is definitely for the purpose of that person himself. So if so, so why would we say that what you see in the other person is merely just looking at a mirror? That you're seeing the negative that's inside of yourself, you're seeing it in the image of your friend, but it really refers back to yourself. How can we say such a thing? So that's the question. So, I mean, the question over here is on the very premise of the whole Varta the Baal Shem Tov, that it has to be a lesson, and therefore the lesson has to apply to you, says the Rebbe, who says maybe the lesson applies to Taka, everything you see is Bashgacha Pratis, but the lesson applies to him, that you have to help him out. And besides that, the Rebbe says, we're going to have to say that what you see has some relevance to that person himself, which is it's in him. Because one Yid does not just merely serve as a vehicle for someone else. So then what's the Hechlich to say that in addition to the lesson that there is for that person himself, it also serves as a reflection to yourself? What's the whole basis of the Vart of the Baal Shem Tov? Havin zeh, to understand this, Tzorach lahakdim lahasbir inyin bilti muvim behemshich maimer ha-gemara muv le'el. So let's go back to something that's not understood in the sugya of the Gemara that we brought before. This is a Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim. And there in the Gemara, there's something that needs to be clarified. The Gemara there begins, Lo'olam al yetzi adam dava b'megunam yipiv. A person should not speak in the negative. Shenema min ha-behema asher einena tahira. As we've quoted before. Then, behemshech l'mayim b'zen, nemesham oid klal daima. The Gemara there brings a similar rule. La'olam yisaper adam b'loshen nekiyah. A person should always use clean, pure language. Shaharei b'zov korei merkav. Regarding the tumah of a zov, the Torah uses, which is a male, the Torah uses the term merkav, riding, where a person's feet, that is, are split when he rides. U'b'isha korei meishav. By a woman, to use a cleaner, more modest language, it doesn't want to use a language that refers to a woman where her feet are split, so it uses the term meishav, that she sits. Shatam l'shini akasa b'ish zav b'isha by isha it says oya l'kli ashi yeshavis olav, and it does not say v'loy rechavis olav k'may b'ish by a man. What does it say? V'chol amerka v'ashi yirkav olav, that he writes l'fi she'ein hogon lahaski rechiva opisuk raglayim b'isha. Pasuk wants to keep it to the most modest language and not use the language of writing, which mentions the splitting of the feet of a woman. So we see, this is the beginning of the sugya there, where it discusses the idea that a person should choose the purest language possible. Klal zeh, and then the Gemara continues there, on this klal, makshisham b'gemara, mishloisha psukim shekasavem loshem merkabisha. The Gemara brings up three different places where you do find that the Torah does use the term merkav regarding a woman. Ula achri atidit shalagimel. Then after the Gemara answers all of these three places why the Torah chooses to use the term Merkav by an Isha, Bosh Amakushye, the Gemara concludes with a question, Uba'iraise mi loik siv tome? Does it never use the term tome in the Torah? How could you say that the Torah only uses clean, pure language? And as the Gemara brought in the beginning, it says, Asher einena tahira, but we do find the word tome in the Torah many times. That's the question that the Gemara asks towards the end of the sugya. The Ein Zem Muvan Klal, says the Rebbe, the question here is very obvious. Haloshin Tomek Suve B'Teire Yesem Imei Pamin. More than 100 times it's mentioned in the Teire, the expression of Tomek. Vim Kein, Hasvara Nesenes, Shemetchila Hayetzorach Lahakshis B'Gemarim, Haloshin Tomek, Hachizeres V'Nishnes Ribui Pamin. This should have been the first and immediate question the Gemara is asking. The word Tomek says in the Teire so many times. How could we say that a person should only use a Loshin Nekiyah and not over here, the Torah says Tomei more than 100 times? That should have been the first question. V'achakach, and then afterwards, Meloshim Merkev Bisha. Then the Gemara could bring up the term of Merkev, She'en Mifia L'Pam Machodis, that is mentioned in the Torah, the term Merkev regarding a woman, is only mentioned a few times in the Torah. V'lama bo akusha is b'sei dehafoch. Why are the questions in the Gemara in the opposite order? First, the Gemara questions from the Lashon Merkav, which is not, doesn't seem to be such a strong question, it's just a few times. Then the Gemara concludes, but it says in the Torah Tame, which is 100 or over 100 times. Why does that come last? Gam tzarech lahavin. Also, if you look at the exact wording, the way the Gemara expresses the question, my kavanas haGemara b'mi loik siv Tame. Is it not true that it says in the Torah Tami, Beloshon Shel Tmiah, the Gemara is like wondering, that's it's making a unique point. Ki'ilu, Sheba Ha'ida, Shekosef Tami, Yesh Mishum Chiddush, Upisr and Safik Afshiri, that the Gemara is like making sure. Isn't it true? Isn't it true that it says in the Torah many times the word Tami? As if there's a doubt about this. The Yaisim Masim Leimar, the Gemara should have asked the question much more clearly and directly. Matter of fact, everybody knows, open up a chumash, you'll see it says so many times the word Tami. Why is the Gemara asking it with this lashon of Tmiya, that it's sort of making sure that it actually says the word Tami in the Torah all of these times? So there has to be something unique here about the fact that the Torah does say the word Tami so many times, and still the Gemara is not really bothered by it. So what's really going on over here? Habir bezeh the pshatis. When we're talking about a pasuk or anything that we're coming to give an actual halacha, psak halacha, azai tzorach psak lehi'omer b'loshna yoseh brura. The psak has to be said in the clearest fashion. Afilim loshna zu hidava meguna. Even if the psak is going to include unclean language, it doesn't matter. B'chdei shahalacha tia psuka obrura legamri. When you're paskening a halacha, the halacha has to be 100% clear. So this is the basis, this is the point that the Rebbe establishes over here, b'negeya to the whole concept of speaking b'loshon nekiyah, that does not include when you have to give a psak halacha. A psak halacha, it has to be given very clearly, concisely, and to use the most direct language, even if it includes negative language. So in most places in the Torah, it uses the term Tami. So now the Rebbe brings up what the Gemara discusses over there in Psachim, that really, just as much as there is an advantage of using Lashon Nekiyah, that a person should always use clean language, but there's also something else. The Gemara there says that a person should always teach B'derech Kitzara, use the shortest way to express his point, and not use a long-handed expression. And the question is, which one is a greater advantage? Lashon Nekiyah or Lashon Ketzara? So the Rebbe points out that actually, there's an advantage to each one of them and they're equal. So the Torah many times uses the Lashon Tame. Afal pi sha'adibu b'Lashon Ketzara, using the word Tame as opposed to not Tahir, which would be a longer-handed language. Loi godla malasa lefiya marsha al adibu b'Lashon Nekiyah. It's not necessarily a greater advantage to speak b'loshon kotzer than to speak b'loshon nekiyah. So you have a choice. You could either speak b'loshon nekiyah or you could speak b'loshon kotzer. And they're both equally as good because each one has their advantage. But nevertheless, the Torah still many times uses the term tame. Why? Fi shirak b'sipure ha-Torah yitochin she'inyin ha-tumeh v'chayetze b'zeh yikasev b'oifen shel ikem ha-kasev. When it comes to a story that's being related, and in the story it talks about something which is not tahir, so there the Torah will use a longer language and will write it in a way not to mention what's negative. In a roundabout way, concealing the negativity and not direct. Because it's only a storyline. It's sharing an event that happened. It's not a psak halacha. So here the Torah will many times use the term tami. Although there is a great advantage in speaking b'loshon nekiyah. V'sham b'sipurei ha-Torah. When it comes to the Torah that's just sharing a story, harei loshon arach nekiyah, finding places in the Torah where it uses a longer language and a more pure language, matzi hu loy pachis m'loshon katzer m'guna, is found in the Torah no less than the times that the Torah uses a shorter language and a more direct language which is not as pure. Heyais, why? Because kiloshin katzer maguna veloshin arach nekiyah shavim him. The conclusion of the Gemara over there is that, as I mentioned, there's an advantage to using a pure language, There's also an advantage in using a clean language. They're both the same. And therefore, when it comes to the stories of the Torah, sometimes the Torah will use the advantage of saying it in a more concise fashion. And sometimes the Torah will use the advantage of saying it in a more cleaner language. But this is all only benegay when it comes to sharing a story in the Torah. So here you have the relative advantages of each one of them, and the Torah will choose sometimes this advantage of Lashon Katzer and sometimes the advantage of Lashon Nekiyah. But when it comes to most places in the Torah, so in the Torah, there's a psak halacha, when the Torah is actually saying a halacha, not a story. Here the Torah must use a clearer and concise and direct language. The Torah has to say tome. Not only because speaking more concisely has an advantage, it's more than that. The clarity of a psak halacha, you have to say it the most direct and clear, and not use ambiguous language because you're trying to use more pure language. A psak halacha is an exception. It doesn't go into the whole sugya, the entire discussion of the Gemara about Lashon Nekiyah. And the Gemara discusses the relative advantage of Lashon Nekiyah to a Lashon Katzer. In a case of a psak halacha, it's not shaykh to the whole sugya. A psak halacha has to be said the most direct and the most clear, not with any ambiguity. So with this we can understand. In the Gemara, in the beginning, the Gemara holds, in the beginning, the Gemara says that even if you're going to have to speak more words, the Torah will always use a clean language. So as the Rebbe before mentioned, the conclusion of the Gemara is that there's the relative advantages of Lashon Nekiyah, pure language, versus a concise language. And they're the same, they're equal. But in the Havamin of the Gemara holds that no, Lashon Nekiyah, using a pure language, is more important than Lashon Katzer, and therefore even if it's you're going to end up speaking in a long-handed expression, nevertheless, Lashon Nekiyah is more important. That's what the Gemara holds in the beginning. And it's at this stage of the Gemara when the Gemara brings up the question about the fact that the Torah does use the term Tomei. So at this point, the Gemara says that you have to use a pure language, even if it's going to end up being longer, even though we know that it says so many times in the Torah the word Tomei. What's their answer? Most of the times in the Torah, as the Rebbe said before, more than 100 times in the Torah, it says the term Tomei in the Torah, it's not Shaykh Tar Sugi Bechlal. And all those times that it says in the Torah, the Lashon Tomei, it's speaking about the Torah is telling you a certain psak din, a certain halacha. Over there, the Torah has to speak direct and clear to say the term Tomei. Ulechein, ein zeh stira lahaklal, shel la'olam, al yetzi adam dava megunu mipiv. This klal, the sugya that we're speaking about, that a person should use clean language. Gam lefia solke daitach shuhu koilol. Gam heichad an efficient mile. In the Hava Min of the Gemara, that a person has to always use clean language, including when he's going to speak in a more long-handed expression. And the Gemara at this point holds, Lashon Katzer is not as important as this. And nevertheless, the fact that it's so many times in the Torah, it says Tomei, doesn't come up. The Gemara doesn't consider that to be a question, because that's not Shaykh Tar Sugya. That's in the cases where it's telling you a Psak Halacha. Then when the Gemara does in the end come around to ask the question, does it not say in the Torah the term Tomei? So now, what is the Gemara asking from the fact that the Torah uses the term Tomei? The Hachi Einenu Meitzin B'Teiras Aloshen Tomei Gam Kasha Efshel La'akim B'Sipureha. Is it not the case that the Torah uses the term Tomei not only in Negeya to the Psak Halacha, that's not Negeya here, but also in Negeya to stories that the Torah relates? And the Torah could have changed the Lashon to write Le'enai Tohoi, and the Torah uses Tomei even when Negeya to a story, which is what is Negeya to our Sugya? That's the question. Haloi nimtzas pehem al kolponim pomei machodes. You should be able to find a few times in the Torah that it uses the term Tomei even when Negeya to such kind of a cases, when it's talking about stories and not when Negeya to Halacha. L'chein, ein gam l'tmoya, ma shekush yizu, So now we understand why this question, the Gemara didn't ask at all immediately in the beginning of the sugya, that you find over 100 times the Lashon Tomei in the Torah. Because Taka, when it comes to the story of Torah, stories in Torah, and to use the term Tomei, you only find it very few times. Not all the other times in the Torah that it uses the term Tomei, it's not Shaykh Bechlal to this sugya over here. Okay, so we have very clear that you can see from the Gemara the distinction that the Rebbe made over here, that when it comes to Psak Halacha, the whole concept of Ayotzi Adam Dovah Megunah Mipiv does not come up Bechlal. The whole Indian is only when it comes to the Sipurim of Torah. Over here, a person should choose a Lashon Nekiya, and actually the Maskan of the Gemara is that Lashon Nekiya and Lashon Katzer are equal, so you can say either a Lashon Katzer or a Lashon Nekiya. Kamar, so as we've explained, even when a person has to paskana halacha and a gas lays a dovra, fill lays a ish, that's negate a subject or to a person, you have to use a clear language of tommy, direct and clear. If you're discussing the tumah that this person has, or the fact that he is tumah, and you're not discussing the actual psak halacha of his tumah, you should be careful not to say a davar meguna. You're talking about the result and the fact that he is tumah. You're not saying it as a psak halacha. So that's also included in what the Rebbe said before, that it should not be mentioned with a davar meguna, because it's not the actual psak halacha. Rai ladava, the Rebbe brings a rai from a pasuk. So the Torah here is talking about a certain mitzvah, and it uses the term lo yiyeh toy. It uses something in the which is negative, and it uses clean language. Isn't this a pasuk that's coming to teach me a halacha? So shouldn't it use a more direct language according to the klal that the Rebbe said before? When the Torah uses the clean language, it's using it not in the part of the pasuk where it's coming to say the psak tamei toy elo she'olav lotzes el mechutz lamachna lefi sheyidua mikvar shehu tamei. It's telling you about a certain fact about this person which we've already paskin about him, that he is tamei. So it's sort of the story part of this situation where we're paskining a halacha about this. So over here, the Torah is speaking in a roundabout way, and it does not say Tomei, it says Ashaloi Yitar. So even when you are relating a halacha, but even there, if there's an aspect of what you're saying is not the actual psak halacha, so then that's also part of Ikim HaKosav, that you speak only in a pure language, in a roundabout way. So now the Rebbe takes this entire subject, which we're speaking about dibur, how a person should be clean, careful with clean language, and that only applies to a sipur and not to a psak halacha, and applies the same thing b'negeit to dibur. B'negeit to re'iyah, that is. So we understand the same thing applies also when it comes to seeing something negative. When you hear of the fact that a yid did something inappropriate, what do you have to see or hear in this? You have to see only the conclusion, the bottom line of what is the mandate of you to do about it, not to focus on the negative. And the Rebbe explains, what should catch your attention and what you should focus on is, oh, there's an opportunity to help a yid. That's the only thing you should be hearing. To rebuke him, in a pleasant manner, in the proper way, to bring him to the tshuva. This should be the main thing you're paying attention on. Even if you can't help it, but hear and see the negative, but what should be the immediate conclusion and the focus of the person is to see, oh, so this is an opportunity to help another yid. What do I do about this? So this is similar to what we said before, but again, to dibur, that when a person is speaking about something, halacha lemaaseh, psak din b'poel, so over there, the negative has to be said clearly and directly. Same thing also, you see the negative, yes, it's sometimes the Yibusha wants you to see the negative in another person, but because it's negei lemaisa, to actually go and focus on what's negei lemaisa, to help the other person. But what happens if when you hear something negative about someone else? What you see and you focus not on the lesson and on the action that you have to take to help the other person. You're actually focusing on the negative of your friend, not the lesson that you're there to come and help him. But you're actually paying attention, oh, this person is evil, there's something negative about him. That's what you're paying attention to. Akulpanim, ze mudgish etzlai. This is emphasized by you when you hear about this negative. So you say, meres shemargish, what the person is feeling is loya nechitzus mitzida lesakne, not the responsibility that you have, that you should immediately go and help the other person, ki yemech sheyesh mitzias rabba zolosai. You notice the evil in the other person. You're noticing that he is something wrong with him. That just that itself, that's what you're paying attention to. Here, this is the proof that it's your face which is dirty. This is a reflection of yourself that you're seeing in the other person. If you are only seeing the negative in the other person and you don't focus on the negative at all, you just see what you have to fix in the other person, so then you b'chlal don't even really see and focus on the negative b'chlal. But if you actually see the negative in the other person, just that for itself, that's another lesson. There's another lesson involved. As the Rebbe explains it, so you say medis, say it as follows. Everything Hashem creates in the world without exception, every single incident, including every detail of every incident, shebechol prat shuhuraya, every detail that you see, yeshna ira miyachedus lo, there's a specific lesson that you can take from this. So harei muvan shebenidin didan hayra kfuli lo. Over here, you're sort of seeing two things, so there's a double lesson. Zeh shemaram lemo ma'ala sheyesh b'chaveri inyan hazokek l'tikon, the fact that David is making you aware of the fact that there's somebody that needs help, somebody that could use your help to help him correct and improve his ways. That means that yes, you're the person that has to go and use your avos yisrael to help the other yid. That's one lesson. The fact that the Eibishter allows you to see the evil in the other person, that you actually see the negative in him. You see the negative of chaveroi. Why are you seeing that? Besides the lesson to help him, but why are you seeing the negative and focusing that in your friend? That serves as a reflection on yourself. And you have to be misakin yourself. So it's true, Taka. The first obvious lesson is whatever negative that person has, the purpose in it is to help that person for himself. As the Rebbe started off in the Sikha, you can't say that what happens in a person's life, what exists and what the Eibishter allows to become exposed about him, is a lesson only for someone else. One yid can't just be there as a medium for someone else. It's taka, the first lesson is to help him. But the fact that the Eibishter is allowing you to see something else, the negative, without focusing on the lesson that you have to help him, but seeing the negative in him, there that other person becomes like a mirror for you. That's an additional thing that the Eibishter is allowing you to see as a reflection. V'tzorach l'sakan asatzma, you have to correct yourself. Shemu ba'atzma hoyed madregis tzadik, if you are a tzadik, akoponim b'pratze, at least in this particular area that you're seeing a chasaran in someone else, even if you're not a tzaddik fully, but at least in that area, if you were a tzaddik, azay lehoye roye umadgish bezeh asarakana, you wouldn't see this aspect of that the other person is ra in this area would not catch your attention. You wouldn't see that. All you would see is that there's a yid that I could help, that there's a yid that I had to have an opportunity to help another yid. The fact that you focus and it catches your attention to see the ra of the other person, that means that ra exists in you. It's a reflection of what's really going on by yourself. So therefore, there's two different lessons over here that you see in the other person. So the Rebbe makes a very geschmack comparison between the dibur and the ri'iyah. Just like it is b'nigeya to dibur, that there's a chiluk b'nigeya to when the Torah writes something, halacha l'maisa. And when the Torah is writing just a story, the same thing is also b'nigeya to seeing the ra in someone. There is the Ra, B'negei L'maisa B'poyel. The first and most important lesson is to go and help him. And that Ra that you see is for a purpose, and that Ra is that's what you should be seeing in another person, that it's an opportunity to help him. But then there's an additional thing you see up there. You're focusing on another story. The story of the other person's life that you're seeing the negative in him. Why are you seeing that? That's a reflection of what's really the story of what's going on in your own life. That's an additional thing. You shouldn't have been seeing that. It's only a reflection of what you saw in yourself, and therefore you have to correct it in yourself. Not coming back to the language of the Pasuk. Story of Shem and Yefes, they went backwards, they did not face their father, and they went to cover him. And the Torah adds, after it says Pnei Machiranis, it says Ve'ervas Avim Leiro. It's self-understood if they were walking with their face in the other direction. The Torah is adding this to emphasize. It's not only that they were facing the other direction. So they were facing the other direction. So physically, they couldn't see their father being exposed. What the Pasuk is telling me even more, they didn't see, they didn't feel, they didn't focus on the negative that was there. Their entire focus and attention was only on the fact that there's an opportunity to help him, that there's something we have to do about it. The negative, they didn't feel that. They didn't focus and pay attention to the actual negative that was there. The only thing that they saw is, oh, we have to do something about this. We have someone that's in help, in need for help, and let's go and help him. That's all they saw. The negative, they didn't see. They didn't catch their attention at all. A tzaddik, these people, shame the yefes, they did not, the negative in another person does not register by him. All he sees is an opportunity to help another person. This explains us on a deeper level the difference between these two, Shem and Yefes, from their third brother, Cham. They did not see, they did not register by them the negative of their father. It's really a reflection of their own level that they were on. Cham avi kenan mikiv mishara hoya boy batzmai. Since there was the negative, there was the ra within him himself. El Shaboi, who adayim bedakas. By Chom, he's the source of the ra. It's not yet actualized and coming out in a coarse way. It was just the subtle ra that existed within him. And what's the subtle ra? It's the source of ra. The Rebbe explains, Ki Chom in Yonei Chamimus. The word Chom, the name itself, implies that there's a heat, there's a indulgence, shemikava smile that comes from the negative when a person has a taiva and a heat to things that are not good for him. So l'chein, it's this subtle ra that existed within Chum himself. L'chein ra b'noyach, it's aloy toiv shol vayesh, vayishka goyim. So when he sees what happened to his father, that he drank and he got drunk and he was lying exposed, so Chum senses that evil for itself, for what it is. What happened to Noach himself was also an overindulgence in something too much to the point that he got drunk. The chamimus, the name Chom, which shows on the fact that he has this taiva within him, is less than the extent that it was expressed and the way it happened to his father Noach. Nevertheless, when he saw the Ra in Noach that caught his attention, he saw the Ra for itself. Because at least at a subtle degree, that Ra exists within him himself. So the Rebbe adds here another point: when you see Ra in someone else and you have to reinterpret it back to yourself as a mirror, doesn't necessarily mean that the same level and extent of Ra that you see in the other person is a reflection to what's by yourself. But it means that that Ra exists on one level or another, could be to a subtle degree by itself. Shem and Yefes represent Kava Yamin and Kava Amtsoy, that are both in Kedusha. This existence of any such kind of chamimus doesn't exist at all. It doesn't exist to the most subtle degree, that there's no trace of it. So if you yourself are completely clean of any of this negativity, it doesn't catch your attention. This doesn't register by you when you see it in someone else. All they see is the opportunity that they have to do, the aveda that has to be done to go and help this person that's in this situation. That's the difference between Chom and Shem and Yefes. So this is a very clear lesson to all of us. When you hear or see something negative about another Yid, besides the obvious, that there's an issa of Lashon Hara, you're not allowed to speak about this to somebody else, and not like what Chom did, he wasn't happy just with the fact that he saw the negative state his father was in. Instead of going and just covering his father, he went and shared it with others. He shared it with his brothers. So that's obvious. That's abgefreckt. A person should go and share the negative of something that you see in another yid with someone else. The lesson we learn from here is even more. It shouldn't register in your mind. Don't pay attention and don't focus and don't think about the ra that there isn't another person. And the Rebbe here in the Hora 34 points to the famous Yigeres HaKadosh and Simchah Beis, where the Alter Rebbe says that Ishas Ra'as Re'eu Ayalad Machshove. That you shouldn't even machshove. And the Alter Rebbe there points out that machshove, it's even more significant. And therefore, Tzarech L'Zbayna Malasas B'zeh, the only thing you have to be thinking about is, what do I do about this? Eich Le'chicha, Kanal B'ifna Roy L'Saknoi, how could I correct this other person's ways? U'ba B'sho, Gam L'Vakash Eitzev, V'chol Mini Yishtadlus, Shlo Yiris, Arash, Chaveri, V'afilu B'eisis, Aska Simoi. And when you're dealing with this, you have to find all kinds of ways of not to allow the negative itself to catch your attention, just to focus on helping him. K'shem S'nagim, V'hoilchem B'derech Zushal Shem V'yefes. And when a person behaves in this way, the Eibushel will dwell amongst you. You'll become a keli for the Torah. Sha keli l'Torah hu ashalit. The keli for Torah is the peace between one yid and another, only seeing the positive in another yid. The Shechina dwells Ba'al Hashem, which is in the third Beis HaMikdash, Ayde Achtos, Va'avas Yisrael, the unity and the love amongst Yidden, Ubekarev Mamish.